Keeping it real with Phil Gordon.
Welcome to Conversations. I'm your host, Charles Kirkman Jr., and I'm so glad that you've taken the time to join us once again. It's my favorite time of the year, I would say of the month, where I get an opportunity to sit down with a creative in right here in our city of Washington, D.C., and find out what some of the things that they're doing that makes them special. Matter of fact, they're so special, they've been named the filmmaker of the month. So today I have with me a gentleman who's originally from Nashville, Tennessee, but he's a bilingual director, producer, and editor that's been residing in D.C. for a while now. He's got a Master of Arts degree from Montana State University, and he's been working in D.C. as a video internship with the Hubble Communications team at NASA. And he's done a lot of things, including a documentary that played in D.C. at the D.C. International Film Festival, and is coming to the Light Reel Film Festival this year called Sonora. He's been unconventional in his own description, and I'm just thankful and happy to have him with me, the filmmaker for the month of May. Welcome to the program, Johnny Holder.
Charles, thank you so much, man. It is a huge honor to be here and talk with you, and it's great to meet you.
Well, the honor is all mine, actually, because I love to get the opportunity to meet with people who are doing great work. And so the first question I have for you is the same question that I ask everyone who comes on the show. What does it mean to you to be named the filmmaker of the month for the month of May?
Well, it definitely came at a surprise and certainly a huge honor, as I've really only been in DC for just over a year. And since moving here, I think the first week that I was here was when that film screened at DC International Film Festival and won the best short film in the Metro Shorts category. And so the whole year of being here, the city has really just flowed with affirmations of this being a good move. And, you know, receiving this recognition certainly is a huge continuance of that. So, yeah.
Wonderful. I mean, DC has a rising film community that I've had the opportunity to interview a bunch of people who are getting started here. And you have started your own production company here called Rising Fog Productions. So, but tell me what it was that made you decide to start here or open that company here versus anywhere else where you could have done it.
It was actually in 2019 that I was here for 6 months doing those internships at NASA. I'd never been to anywhere in the DMV area before that, never visited as a child, and was incredibly surprised how much I fell in love with the DMV area while doing those internships. And then COVID hit and my internships ended, and I had a thesis film to finish for my master's. And so I decided to go hang out in Colombia, South America, and hope that something arose. And that's what Sonora came out of. But all that time I had my eyes to come back to DC. It felt like really a great hub for, you know, international exposure. My first experience in DC was going to Malcolm X Park on a Sunday. And I was just like, what is, like, this is rad. Like, this is really, really dope scene. And yeah, I'd been living more or less in Montana for 5 years. And don't get me wrong, Montana was extremely special place for me. I love it out there, but, you know, being from the East Coast originally, I missed the green, the water, the culture. And so, yeah, it was also with the growing film community, like you mentioned. I don't think my inner rural country boy could handle New York City quite yet anyways. After 2 or 3 days, I'm always excited to get out of there. But but I love the energy in DC, constantly meeting just incredibly talented and motivated people. And so it's been a great transition.
Wonderful. I heard that you kind of stumbled into this film, Sonora, being down in, I mean, retreating to Colombia during the pandemic. Tell us a little bit about what Sonora is and what makes it so special that it's won 11 festival awards. What do you attribute that to?
Sure. It was, so I was previously down there for 6 months before filming this, and I was pursuing a follow-up to another short film that I did about clowns that work in refugee camps. And
yeah,
that ended up falling through, didn't work out. There was a large outbreak of unrest at the refugee camp where the group of clowns called Clowns Without Borders couldn't show up. And so during that time, I really just spent time kind of exploring Colombia and figuring out what was next, and was really pursuing something more along the lines of working with ex-FARC soldiers that now work in habitat restoration and conservation. That was a subject matter that really spoke to me as being a veteran myself, having worked in counter-human drug trafficking in Honduras as a veteran, and you know, then going to spend 5 years in Montana and essentially getting an earth science degree for my bachelor's. There's a lot of overlap there, and really in tune with exploring that. There's some incredible stories there, but quickly became known that I was going to be far outside the scope of what was feasible for a self-produced, self-funded thesis short film. But through that process, me and my partner, who's Colombian for this project, we'd come across Juan Pablo and his work in the birding community and some of the overlap that had with the story that we were already following, and was instantly just really amazed and moved at his extremely unique perspective on what the landscape really means, physical landscape means, and what it means to listen. And that's definitely something that I've spent a lot more time exploring over the last 5-6 years, is just stopping and listening. And so we talked to him and presented kind of a wild pitch that was like, why don't we just, you know, it's middle of COVID right now, why don't we just go out and film and tell more of your perspectives instead of your story, which is incredible, and really try and convey what it's like to be in nature and to observe nature from a blind person's perspective. And so we went down this experimental route for that. And fortunately, it's done a lot better than I expected it to over the last year in festivals.
I find the story to be so inspiring and motivating. I can see why it has received the acclaim that it has. Were you, when you were making this, did you ever expect to see the reception that you did for it? I mean, did you know that you were creating something so special when you were in the process, or at what point in time did you realize that it was something so special?
I certainly realized that working with him was an extremely special opportunity. Absolutely. My innate worrier, though, certainly was like, I don't know where this is going to go. Whether it was, you know, out in the field filming or even during editing, the first couple months of editing was just like, no idea if this is going to land at all, how we're going to throw this together. And so it did come by a surprise. I think, you know, there was a point when really just honing in on like the intro 3 minutes, where we kind of set the tone for the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of got that established. It was like, all right, like this is, something's different happening with this, and really just tried to follow that lead. It was very much a, you know, dig through the story process. It was not a nuts and bolts screwed type kind of thing, but
Well, when you're working with documentaries, it rarely is that kind of a nuts and bolts thing. It really is just capturing lightning in a bottle, I think, most 100%. Of the time. Yeah. So much so, I mean, you've got new plans for this project. How is it evolving from here?
We do. So I had the opportunity to do a fellowship at Jackson Wild, which is one of the larger international environmental film festivals. And the film also screened there. So during that screening and the fellowship, was able to kind of figure out how we might evolve this into a feature length program. And so I'm working with some partners right now, and we're going through the pitching process, trying to figure out funding and whatnot. But, you know, we're hoping to do an hour special that is focusing more, you know, we still kind of want to have that cerebral component to it, but you know, giving it some more time to lean into his actual story, which is pretty profound, as well as his work outside of just film recording. Since we recorded, since we filmed, he had helped implement Colombia's first blind accessible nature trail through a program with the, I believe it was the Colombian Ministry of Tourism, if I'm not mistaken, as well as USAID. And so that trail, they helped guide, or they helped train local guides to lead blind people along this trail. Also with like guided handrails, with QR codes where you can scan and listen to different song or bird songs.
Wow.
A very, very cool, amazing accomplishment for sure. So in this feature, we'd actually be going to Brazil, likely the Pantanal, or somewhere north of Manaus in the Amazon, to continue on that path of work of helping implement blind accessible nature trails and documenting that process.
Awesome. Awesome. I mean, it sounds so cool that even me being a seeing person, I think I would like to experience that whole trail like that. How to hear the songs, the different songs, and to be able to identify the birds through their song. I think that's extremely cool.
Absolutely. And there's still, even with Sonora, I'm very happy with what we accomplished in the sound design and with the music that we were granted to use. However, I think there's certainly some levels to go up from there. And so we actually have the founder and producer of the band Bomba Estéreo, which is a pretty large name in Latin American music. And he would be doing our sound design and music score as kind of developing this kind of sound music character of the film. So I'm super excited to collaborate with him and kind of take that sonic experience to a different level.
Well, speaking of different levels, this experience, this interview will be actually taking you to a different level as well. I mean, you got this project going on and maybe another one down the line, but if someone wanted to get in contact with you at Rising Fog, pitch an idea or something along those lines, how could they get in contact with you or reach out to you?
Yeah. Right now, the easiest way is probably Instagram at johnnyholder_87. Also can email me at johnny@risingfog.com. But yeah, and we do currently have, so we're putting that project under Rising Fog. And that name actually came more in line with another project that we're working on that's going to be focused on U.S. military veterans that are with the Tillman Foundation that are going to Rwanda to work with genocide survivors in their reconciliation villages to receive peace and forgiveness training as a form of addressing complex forms of trauma and moral injury. So that's actually what I'm putting a ton of energy right now into, trying to get that funded and pitched and whatnot. So,
well, being a military veteran yourself, I'm sure that's a project that's really close to your heart. that I know you want to throw all your energy into. So hopefully you can get that going as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm encouraged to see everything that you've done, and I look forward to the things that you are doing. But if somebody wanted to see, for instance, on the clowns and the mysterious keys of laughter, is there a way that they can go and, or do you have a site where you can they can go and check those films out?
Yeah, currently I just have my splash page, which is johnnyholdermedia.com. Working on getting the Rising Fog page up, but that project and you know some of those older projects will probably stay under or outside of the Rising Fog umbrella. But certainly at johnnyholdermedia.com, you can you know see the splash page of some of those older works.
Cool, cool. All right, and last thing I want to give you the opportunity. If there's anyone you want to give a shout out to or thanks to, or if you want to talk about any other project, I'm going to give you the last minute of this interview to do that.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Certainly a big, big shout out to the DC International Film Festival and the DC Environmental Film Festival. They've been huge in kind of perpetuating this momentum for myself and these projects, giving me a ton of support in those areas, as well as the Office of the Mayor for selecting me and giving me this recognition. I mean, that's incredible. but yeah.
Well, you're definitely worth it. And I thank you for taking the time out. And hopefully you can also thank Night Reel Film Festival in the future as well. I mean, we want to be there for you for this project and the next ones.
Heck yeah, man.
Once you're part of the family, you're always part of our family.
I really look forward to it. It should be fun. Right.
Well, congratulations once again, and thank you for being on the show. Johnny Holder, you're a star, and we're looking forward to whatever comes next.
Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.